from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today we have updates from the start of the fifth week in South Dakota's 101st legislative session. Today in Pierre, committees tackle state-tribal relations bills, general and special education funding, a closer look at the Rural Health Transformation Fund, and more. It's Monday, February 9th. Here are today's stories. Lawmakers in various committees are advancing bills to improve state-tribal relations and cooperation. One bill creates principles for state government to follow when developing and administering programs that could impact tribal members. HB 1232 asks the state to follow principles such as preserving state-tribal relationships, respecting the sovereignty of Indian tribes, and communicating with tribal officials. Representative Paree Poirier is a prime sponsor. She says it's modeled after Montana law and it affirms in statute that South Dakota treats tribal governments as they are.
Sovereign nations, not just another interest group. Tribal governments are not counties or municipalities. Their authority comes from a different legal source. Our obligations to them are different. By adopting these consultation principles in law, the legislature is saying we recognize that unique status and will conduct ourselves accordingly.
The bill met some opposition in its initial hearing over administrative and legal issues in the original language. Lawmakers amended the bill accordingly. That led to unanimous approval in the House State Affairs Committee. Poirier is backing another bill in the House Judiciary Committee targeting state-tribal cooperation. HB 1175 lets tribes ask the Division of Criminal Investigation to obtain a criminal history record of individuals seeking certain roles, like a tribal foster parent or a tribal council member. Poirier says the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate already has this option. This bill just grants it to other tribes.
The intent of this proposal is permissive. It allows access to DCI and federal criminal checks only upon a tribe's request, under the same parameters and safeguards already in statute. It does not expand authority, but it does allow any Indian tribe to have the same access as one tribe.
She says the records are sent to each tribe. The tribes must keep records so it can be audited by various entities like the FBI. The bill is supported by the House Judiciary Committee 12-0. It heads to the House floor. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. A bill to adjust the funding formula for general and special education needs lives to fight another day. It now heads to House appropriators, but it advances without a recommendation. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
The bill is brought by Rapid City Democratic Representative Nicole Uri Balk. It requires the state to raise funds for public K-12 education by 3% or the inflation rate, whichever is greater. Under current law, it's whichever of those two options is less. Uri Balk says with the current system, the state can effectively cut education funding without saying it out loud.
When funding grows more slowly than inflation, it is not neutral. It is a cut to classrooms. Current law caps growth at 3%, even when real costs rise faster, forcing districts to absorb inflation they cannot control. The legislature raised required teacher pay, but without updating the growth mechanism, we risk eroding that commitment year over year.
Uri Balk says it's a matter of prioritizing where the state's funding is most needed, an opinion shared by the South Dakota Public Education Lobby. Sandra Waltman with the State Education Association agrees.
I really do believe that if we move this to joint appropriations and keep this conversation going, you're going to send a very powerful message to the educators of South Dakota.
Some committee members said they couldn't support the bill because they'd rather see districts cut funding. However, former Brookings superintendent and Republican Representative Roger DeGroot reminded the committee what that means in practice after experiencing a 10% cut firsthand.
The only way that you're going to cut or streamline any budget is cutting programs. 83% of a school's budget is personnel. So if you want to cut your biology program or your shop program or your CTE program, that's the only way you can streamline education. I've been through it. I think that our school districts do a wonderful job balancing their budgets. We do not fund education to the level that we need to fund education.
A vote to advance with a recommendation was tied 7-7 with one excused lawmaker. The second vote with no recommendation advanced 8-6. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
The House Judiciary Committee approves a bill that prevents individuals on pre-trial release from being jailed if they don't have the means to pay for sobriety program costs. Proponents of the bill say it puts South Dakota statute in line with the U.S. Constitution. Tara Larson is a lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. She explains the conflict.
If somebody's willingly refusing to pay, that's different. But if somebody just absolutely cannot pay, you cannot throw them in jail for failure to pay. That's a basic principle of American jurisprudence.
Larson explains the issue in South Dakota's 24/7 project during committee questioning.
Typically how 24/7 is required, you are to, when you go and blow, you pay your, I think it's like $5, I don't know off the top of my head. And if you don't have that, then that is previously had been considered a bond violation and they'll call it a no blow and they'll put you in jail.
Pennington County reached a settlement last month after jailing people who couldn't afford to pay for the 24/7 program fees. Proponents say the bill's language is modeled after that settlement. Representative Will Mortensen says he supports the bill because there is no opposition. However, he mentions a potential unintended consequence.
I would note that this might lead to fewer judges putting on 24/7 as a condition of release. They might just keep them in jail, right? I mean, if you're not doing these things, because they always have that option, you can keep them in jail. They're just letting them out as a condition of letting them out to be on 24/7.
HB 1176 heads to the House floor. A House committee okays legal immunity for individuals overdosing on drugs if law enforcement or emergency medical services are contacted by any person. Previous statute only did so if the person overdosing contacted authorities. Proponents of the bill say it puts the focus on preserving the life of the individual instead of charging them. Justin Bell is a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota State Medical Association.
Would we rather have people pass away because people there don't want to make a phone call because they don't think that person would want them to because they don't want to get in trouble? Would we have them die? I mean, we would submit that the public health concerns are more important than a low-level, most in those situations, a misdemeanor offense.
No opponents spoke against the bill. Representative Erin Healy is the bill's prime sponsor. She calls HB 1183 a good Samaritan law.
The hope here is really straightforward. It's to save lives and to encourage people to contact law enforcement and emergency services without hesitation or fear. In moments of panic, it can be really difficult to make sound decisions, especially when someone believes that calling for help could lead to legal trouble for the person that they are trying to save. And this bill removes that fear.
The bill advances out of the House Judiciary Committee 11-1. It next heads to the House floor.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
Rural hospitals across the country are cutting services and, in some cases, closing their doors. That can put lives and ways of life in jeopardy. The Trump administration's Rural Health Transformation Program is set to pump $50 billion into rural health initiatives nationwide over the next 5 years. But in South Dakota, many lawmakers are skeptical of accepting one-time dollars to deal with what is a long-standing problem. SDPB's Jackie Hendry reports.
The Rural Health Transformation Program was included in President Donald Trump's so-called One Big Beautiful Bill. It's a partial response to concerns over cuts to Medicaid that could impact rural health providers. All 50 states were invited to apply for their share of $50 billion by submitting a five-year proposal. For example, South Dakota's plan includes a focus on maternal health care and emergency medical services. The state's vast geography and sparse population contribute to the challenge of providing convenient access to specialized care. One hospital in South Central South Dakota closed its birthing unit last year. Now, pregnant women in the area must drive up to 3 hours round trip for a prenatal visit. Meanwhile, most South Dakota ambulance staff are volunteers, and the pool of volunteers is aging. On top of that, ambulance services in rural areas are facing money shortfalls while having to cover more ground.
Anyone who's gone sort of west of Pierre from this point on to Rapid City knows there's a vast amount of space.
That's South Dakota Secretary of Health Melissa Magstad. She and others presented the state's Rural Health Transformation Plan to South Dakota lawmakers in January.
Women still get pregnant. Families still grow in those areas. It doesn't mean that their babies aren't born, but it's a lot higher challenge now to get prenatal care when it's 2 hours away from you.
Establishing regional hubs for maternal health care is one of 10 initiatives included in South Dakota's Rural Health Transformation Plan. The state was awarded more than $189 million federal dollars for the first year alone, but state lawmakers had to actually accept it. Republicans enjoy a supermajority in both chambers of the South Dakota State House. President Trump handily won the state in the last three presidential elections. But some conservative lawmakers were skeptical of the Trump administration's program. A few worried that, down the road, the state will end up footing the bill for medical services established with these one-time dollars. Health Secretary Magstadt explains most of South Dakota's rural health transformation funds will be distributed to local providers who request the money, but long-term funding may be up to them.
The RFP must say how you are going to sustain it, not how we're going to sustain it, how you are going to sustain it, little hospital or little rural EMS or whatever it is.
Other South Dakota lawmakers resent the increase in federal spending. Here's Republican Representative Tim Goodwin.
In 5 years, this country might be broke. That's my question. How do we know we're even going to be around with as far a debt we're in, and our president never talks about the national debt? That's my question.
Policy specialist Laura Ringling is with the governor's office. She explained that if South Dakota doesn't take its share of the federal money, it'll go to other states.
It's not going into savings. It's not going to be retained. And so that's really where we are today. We have this opportunity. If we don't take it, someone else will.
In many small towns across the rural Midwest, a local hospital or clinic means jobs. Representative Eric Emery is one of a handful of Democrats in the South Dakota State House. He's a paramedic with the Rosebud Ambulance Service, which serves the Rosebud Indian Reservation on the state's southern border.
It's those small town hospitals, small town clinics that help keep small town South Dakota alive. And if we don't do something to keep those places open, we're just going to kill those small towns even faster.
And early intervention in a medical emergency can be life-saving. Republican Representative Drew Peterson urged his colleagues to support the funding.
Now, I was not going to talk about this today, but I'm thankful for critical care access hospitals in my area because, without them, I may not have my family today.
Peterson says providers discovered a complication in his wife's pregnancy during a routine prenatal visit.
My wife and my son are healthy today because of things like this. So if we want to talk about deficits and things like that, let's go for it. This is not that bill.
Even though Representative Goodwin called for more detail from President Trump on how to deal with the national debt, he supports the Rural Health Transformation Program.
We got to trust him in this deal. We should not vote this down to send this money to another state because we don't think President Trump knows what he's doing.
Over in the South Dakota Senate side, former first responder and Republican Senator Kurt Voigt says taking the federal funds is a simple matter of life and death.
My question to you is, when we talk about money, how much is a life worth? Because out there, time and the quality that it takes to intervene for life is imperative.
South Dakota lawmakers ultimately agreed to take 2 years' worth of the federal money. But when that's spent, they have to decide, once again, whether to keep going in the federal government's five-year Rural Health Transformation Program. For the Upper Midwest Newsroom, I'm Jackie Hendry in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
The Upper Midwest Newsroom includes public media stations in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the Dakotas. It's supported by a grant from Corporation for Public Broadcasting. A familiar face in the state Democratic Party is joining the race for South Dakota governor. Dan Ahlers plans to formally announce his bid tomorrow morning, according to a press release. Ahlers is the executive director of the South Dakota Democratic Party. He previously served in the legislature for three terms, representing District 25, which includes northern Minnehaha and Moody counties. He ran for a statewide office in 2020 when he lost to Mike Rounds in a race for U.S. Senate. Ahlers faces Robert Arnold in the Democratic primary. Some of South Dakota's biggest needs for resources are related to housing, food, and utilities, data from the 211 Helpline Center shows. That's according to a new South Dakota Newswatch report. The 211 line connects individuals with community services statewide. The organization started sharing call data with the public 3 years ago to help local leaders determine their community's needs. In 2025, housing assistance was the most common call, accounting for over a quarter of all requests. Most of those were from people who needed help paying rent. 211 also saw an increase in calls for food assistance during last year's government shutdown. Downtown Sioux Falls officials announced the winner of this year's burger battle, Swamp Daddy's, took home first place this year. Its dish, called the Bayou Stack Burger, featured bacon, an onion and pepper chutney, and a patty blended with short rib and brisket topped with a Cajun sauce. According to Downtown Sioux Falls, Inc., this year's event broke several records. More than 95,000 were sold, a 13% increase over 2025. That amounted to over $1.7 million spent directly on Burger Battle burgers. 50 downtown restaurants took part in 2026, which is the 13th year it's taken place. Organizers say it helps drive business during a normally slow part of the year. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.